Today is World Environment Day, and this year's theme is air pollution, which kills 7 million people around the world every year. And that's just one of the challenges facing our new Environment Minister, Susan Lee, who also has to deal with an extinction crisis that affects the planet and this country too in particular, and ongoing problems, of course, with plastic and recycling. And then there's Adani and the Commonwealth approvals. Susan Lee joins me in the breakfast studio. Minister, congratulations and welcome to breakfast.
It's lovely to join you here in person, Fran.
You've replaced Melissa Price as the Federal Environment Minister. She was dubbed by some as the Invisible Minister, and some say she was kept under wraps during the campaign. What sort of Environment Minister do you intend to be?
I intend to be someone who spends a lot of time listening in the early days of my portfolio. I haven't quite chalked up 1 week, but it's important to listen to the views that accord with your own intrinsic understandings and opinions, but also those that don't. So I will certainly do that. I will bring, as we all do as government ministers, I'm sure, my own focus, but I very much want to promote local recycling, land care, farmers and the environment, and the practical things that individuals can do, rather than looking at governments and saying, governments must be taking action. What can I do? I mean, there are things individuals can do, and that's why I'm visiting Planet Ark in a little bit to talk about our circular economy focus, which is all about recycling. Mm-hmm. Everyone wants to recycle, but not enough items are getting recycled and then reused.
And that's not just about people, though. That is about government regulation. I mean, Australian government's been accused of really not being proactive enough in terms of moving on the circular economy, isn't it? Hasn't it?
Which is why we've got a $167 million commitment, and that's what we talked about during the campaign, which is all about using the Clean Energy Finance Corporation as a vehicle through which you invest in projects at local, state and federal level that increase the use of recyclables.
Is the Clean Energy Finance Corporation the right place to fund recycling?
Well, they can approve projects, and they're a good body to do that. So we will design appropriate guidelines that mean let's get the outcomes right. I mean, the outcome has to be that more recycled product ends up, for example, in roads, which is something state governments can implement, in furniture, that recycling process be a low carbon process, which hence the
it's
CFC.
It's about innovation, it's about research and development,
exactly.
Isn't it?
Exactly. We've now got $20 million allocated to a CRC for plastics and recycling. So yes, there is work to do, and that was why it was one of our key commitments in the election campaign, Fran.
There's a lot of issues in your portfolio: carbon pollution, the extinction crisis, land clearing, you mentioned plastics, drilling in the Great Australian Bight, but if you're going local, nothing is more local for you, perhaps particular in your seat, than the Murray-Darling. And you are a minister that has some responsibility for the environmental water that goes back into the river and where it goes. What's your view in the Murray-Darling Basin plan at the moment? Because the person who was trying to steal your seat from you, pinch your seat from you, Kevin Mack, was calling for a royal commission. What's your view?
No Royal Commission is necessary, but what we do need to do is reassure every single Australian that the environmental water that is the portfolio of holdings from the environmental water holder, which is inside the environment portfolio, is being well managed and well used. People need to know that this significant investment of Commonwealth dollars is producing the right environmental outcome on the ground.
And do you believe it is?
I think it can be improved, because farmers will tell me every single day from across the basin that they understand the rivers, they understand the way those rivers flow and the interactions inside their catchments, and that environmental water is not always being used to the best purpose. In other words, a wetland that may usually receive water once every 5 years under nature seems to be getting too much. Red gums that rely on having their feet in the water some of the time are being flooded and dying. It is just so complicated.
That's talking about when too much water is put in. Others would say there's too little water put in at the wrong times.
The right water has to be appropriated in the right places. That's the key thing, and that's what we have to get right. And this brings another of my themes to the table, Fran, which is about farmers and the environment, about the land care movement, and about the fact that farmers are the primary managers out across rural Australia. Lots of people have opinions about the basin without really having ever spent the time to understand it. I want the people who live in the basin to be happy, confident and understanding of how, why and when we use environmental water.
Speaking of land care, the 20 million trees program, which is part of the National Land Care Scheme, fewer than 3 square kilometres of woodland was planted. This takes us to the biodiversity report, the UN report that was released during the election campaign, which was, you know, pretty frightening reading, to be honest. It talked about the end of the world as we know it for around 1 million species. That amount of woodland planted was less than 1% of what's needed to shift valuable habitats from critically endangered to simply endangered. Are you prepared to stand up to some of the farmers you talked about, some of the colleagues in your coalition, particularly in Queensland, who support mass land clearing?
I'm prepared to stand up for the environment as Minister for the Environment, but I also need to listen to alternative opinions about land clearing. Sometimes the distress that people have about it is not about original growth, but regrowth. Sometimes that regrowth includes invasive weeds and trees that aren't meant to be there. So we have to get that right. We have to understand that it isn't just land clearing per se. It's identifying our natural and unique habitats and protecting and restoring them. But it's also recognising that if you simply lock up country, you don't have a positive environmental outcome. You do have pests and weeds.
Well, yes, but you can have both. I mean, you can still lock up parts of the country and manage pests and weeds. I mean, what you can't do is protect biodiversity. I mean, here in Australia, 511 animal species, 1,300 plant species listed as threatened under that UN report. If we don't address the rate of land clearing, that was very clearly the finding of the UN, that land clearing is an issue.
Well, I will rely on a range of opinions. Sometimes the UN makes grand statements about what's happening in Australia, and it's not always right. However, I do want to reassure people.
When does it do that?
Well, in this case, its understanding of land clearing is not my understanding of land clearing. As someone who's lived and breathed these issues most of my adult life and who's been a farmer for 17 years, part of my own land care movement, and certainly watched these land clearing issues play out around the country. But I do take that report seriously. Seriously, I'm not dismissing it. I am worried about our threatened species, and I do want to understand more about what we can do to protect them. However, it isn't all doom and gloom. That's my message.
It's 13 past eight. Our guest is the new Environment Minister, Susan Lee. Minister, a few issues to get through. There's a lot in your portfolio, as I mentioned. Carbon output is probably the hottest political issue when it comes to the environment. When will your department release the latest emission inventory? This is the one for the final quarter last year. It was supposed to be published last Friday under the law. Hasn't been done. Why not?
I'm the Minister for the Environment. Angus Taylor is the Minister for Energy and Emissions Reduction. So I can't actually answer that question.
But these things are under your department, I believe.
Yes, but we have two cabinet ministers in the department, and I'm not going to encroach into Minister Taylor's space. This is not a passing the buck exercise.
Have you seen the numbers yourself?
No, I haven't. As I said, not quite week one in the job, but I'm very focused on being a minister for the environment, on talking about the things we can do and we have invested in and we have promised in the lead up to the election. And they're multi-million dollars programs, and they're important to every single Australian.
All right. Can we clear up the situation with Adani? The Adani Carmichael coal mine still needs final Commonwealth approval relating to groundwater. When will you be making a decision on that?
We've made all the Commonwealth approvals that relate to the construction of the Adani mine.
I believe there's some groundwater approvals still needed.
With the Queensland government.
From the federal government sign off too.
My understanding is, Fran, that there are not, that there are two research plans that the Commonwealth needs to accredit, and they are the remaining Commonwealth plans. At the moment, the groundwater plan is with Premier Palaszczuk, and she has announced she's expecting to make a decision in the middle of this month. So we effectively are waiting for Queensland, and they have several plans, I believe, to accredit. But the two that we have are the two research plans.
Okay, I understand that. I did understand, though, that there was nevertheless a federal approval that was still needed to sign off on the approvals from Melissa Price, the minister, were conditional that various CSIRO and Geoscience Australia concerns about Adani's groundwater work were addressed through the approval process and the research plans. Is that what you're talking about?
Well, they need to be addressed as the mining activity commences. And it's important to recognise it's not set and forget. There's an adaptive management approach monitoring and compliance.
Yeah, so that's a two-year time frame. What good is it if 2 years on we find out it's no good and the groundwater is not safe?
Well, these approvals are constructed in a way that that reporting is done early, that the triggers are set with a buffer, if you like, and that the minister has the power to actually stop mining operations if those water levels drop. So
do you make a commitment now as the minister to, given that the approvals so far are based on a two-year revision, to keep constant monitoring that groundwater?
Under the plans, that monitoring happens. It doesn't happen under all plans, but it happens under quite a few, and it will certainly happen under this one, and it will certainly be watched very closely by my department and by me. We balance that with the confidence that somebody who goes ahead in any mining operation needs to have to make the investment and to operate a business. So my approach will be no surprises, but I will be tough on monitoring and compliance, because if undertakings are made about protections for the environment in any agricultural or mining development, you know, the compliance has to follow through. And we don't want burdens of green tape either, but we also need to hold organisations to account appropriately.
Just one final issue, because the theme of World Environment this year is air pollution. Now, by and large, Australia has clean air compared to many other places in the world. But almost 4 years ago, the Coalition flirted with an option of tougher pollution and fuel standards for our cars and our trucks. There was a ministerial forum on vehicle emissions. A regulatory impact statement found that Australian motorists driving an average passenger vehicle could save over $500 a year if we adopted the tougher US standard for carbon pollution. That proposal was ditched. Are you inclined to take another look at it? I mean, why would we have cars that don't have strict emissions policies as the United States, for instance?
Well, I'm sure that we'll have that on the table when I meet with state environmental ministers in the spring. What I can say is, and it is the theme of today's World Environment Day, is better air quality. And Australia has very good air quality compared to many other countries. We have taken action on small petrol engines that are emitters of negative emitters. And states and the federal government have agreed to clamp down on the types of engines that are imported into Australia. We made that decision in July last year. So we are taking steps to improve our air quality. When it comes to cars, I'm happy to have the discussion when the next time comes.
Susan Lee, thank you very much for joining us.
It's a pleasure.
I look forward to many more interviews over the next 3 years.
Thank you.
Susan Lee is the Federal Environment Minister. You're listening to RN Breakfast. It's 18 past 8.